First Timothy. I want to make a disclaimer before I even start this message today that all sin is going to extract a penalty from your life. Whether it's a secret sin or it's just a full sinful lifestyle, all sin is hurtful to the sinner. And ultimately, it will extract a penalty from you. And so I'm not excusing sin this morning. I'm telling you up front, you need to stop. But I want to reach out to the Christians that are working through this system called progressive sanctification, where God little by little begins to move upon our hearts through the weeks, the months, and the years, and little by little makes changes to change you from what you were into what he wants you to be. It doesn't happen in a month or a year or even a decade. It's a very long process. And as we move through that process, if you're like I am, there are many times of absolute discouragement with the multitude of your own failures. Am I the only one? I know I'm not. I'm just the only one that will admit it. But as you move through sanctification, you try to take the next step in your walk with God to move to more Christ-likeness, and things come out of you, aberrations come out of you, things that you didn't even know were in you sometimes, and sometimes it's just an attitude, I don't want to come out. And the Lord, through all of that, works with us to slowly bring us out of that carnal mindset. And so this morning, I want to talk to the Christian that may have the accuser of the brethren in their ears constantly telling them, look what you did. Look what you didn't do. How can you call yourself a Christian if you did that? If you did or didn't do this other thing, how can you say that you're godly? I want to speak to that voice today. And I want to begin by just laying a canvas behind the service to show you the three brightest lights that we have within Christianity, excluding Christ. These are the men in the Bible, Old and New Testament, that are the brightest. They are the best in terms of what God was able to produce. So in 1 Timothy, Paul is writing this to his young protege, and beginning in verse 12, Paul writes, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, but was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. Let's pray. Father, we just stop to acknowledge you, Lord, that nothing can be done here, Lord, except to be done by your Holy Spirit. And so I humble myself before you. I ask you that you'd use me, Lord, that you'd anoint my lips and as well anoint the ears of your people that we might all hear, that this might be an encouragement to us in a present time of trouble and even in a future time of trouble. We come to you and we ask you in Jesus' name that you administer here today. We thank you for the offering that we will be receiving all over the worship room, across the internet today. We thank you for those that support this ministry. Bless their lives, bless their families, bless their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So we think of the Apostle Paul, and we think of the man who wrote more of the New Testament than really anyone else other than the Apostle Luke. We look at him being caught up to the third heaven, him being given the abundance of revelation, him even miracles working in his life as he raised people from the dead, as he wrote letters sitting in a prison that still illuminate the New Testament church 2,000 years removed. And we see him as this great man of God, which in fact he is. But Paul says, God put me in the ministry. But when he touched my life, he says, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. In other words, Paul was saying, let me tell you about myself. I didn't start at the top of the food chain. I started at the very bottom. And it's the same place that you and I started. None of us started. When we came in, we were just rank sinners. When I came in, not only a ranked sinner, I had zero knowledge of the gospel. I knew nothing about it at all. But God, in his mercy and his grace, little by little lift us up. And so when we look at the greatness of the Apostle Paul, you're looking at the finished product. When Paul came in on the Damascus Road, he saw Jesus. He had a personal vision of Jesus, and he was blinded. And 3 days later, he got his sight back. He didn't rise up with his sight as the great Apostle Paul. No, he was still a Pharisee who had been saved by grace that had to now work through the sanctification process, just like you and I. He had things in his heart. He probably didn't have many of the external sins that people have. As a Pharisee, he wasn't a wine bibber. As a Pharisee, he wasn't running women and that kind of thing. But he had hatreds in his heart that sanctification slowly had to move that out. He spent 3 years by himself on the Arabian desert, just going through this process. As God was giving him great revelations, going through this process. My point is today that he did not start as the finished product. And so don't expect yourself or don't expect me to be the finished product. We're in the process. And we have to learn as we move through the process, have confidence in God. Have confidence in him. Don't cast away your confidence because you have a misstep. You are going to have missteps. You are going to have failures in your life. And usually every great victory that we experience is after several failures in the very same area. Can somebody give me an amen? So we see Paul then. Paul did not start as the great apostle, but he describes himself as a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. Meaning that he would go to other cities with letters from Jerusalem, and he would break up families, and he would drag them back to Jerusalem. He would put a knife to people's throat and make them blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where Paul started. So that's one of the bright lights. Let's look at Moses. Moses was a cold-blooded murderer. He killed a man with his bare hands in a vent of anger. Because the man had mistreated one of the Israelites, one of the Hebrews, Moses jumped on him and broke him with his bare hands, just like Cain killed Abel. And then threw his body in the dirt to hide it. But yet God, sanctification, moved through Moses' life year after year after year, until finally you and I know him as the great lawbringer. The man who brought the law of God down from Sinai, who saw God face to face, ate dinner with God on several occasions. And then, of course, we look at David. Cold-blooded murder. With calculated malice, he killed Uriah the Hittite and then stole his wife. Now, with that as the backdrop, look at the little sin that's in your life. I mean, I don't dismiss it. It's still evil and ungodly. I don't dismiss it. But I'm telling you, don't lose confidence in God's process of sanctification. It will work. It takes a long time because he needs you to see yourself. He needs you to see what you are without him. If you didn't have to look at yourself and look at your weakness and look at your error, you would convince yourself you're the greatest Christian that has ever lived on the planet. But when year after year you have to look at your failures and your weaknesses and your inabilities, you begin to understand what Jesus said, that without me, you can't do nothing. So these are the three bright lights. But Paul says something here in 1 Timothy that I think we need to catch. In verse 15 of that same chapter, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Paul says, "Of who I am chief." In other Paul's admission is, "I was the biggest devil in Damascus. I had all the religious garments and all the religious trappings, but internally I had the satanic nature that was working overtime to produce sin in my life. Of who I am chief. Howbeit for this cause, because of that, I obtained mercy. So that in me first, Jesus might show forth all long suffering for a pattern. Get that, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. In other words, what it's saying is that God took the worst of the worst, the Apostle Paul, who was not just unsaved, he was Antichrist. He was Antichrist when he started. And God did what he did in Paul's life as a pattern to you and I, who did not start, for the most part, as Antichrist. We just started as in the streets. Well, I can't speak for you. That's my. I didn't care about Christ, or I didn't like him, didn't hate him. He didn't mean nothing to me. I was just in the streets. But then when the power of God came upon my life, amen. But Paul started as anti-Christianity, and God moved upon him to bring him to one of the brightest lights within Christianity. Well, what do you think he's going to do to you? What do you think he's going to do to me? He's got us in this process. Here's the best advice that I can give you concerning sanctification. Look away from yourself. Stop looking at yourself. You are always going to be a mess. It might be less of a mess. Amen. That's what sanctification, it makes us less of a mess. But don't focus on yourself. Don't look at yourself. Look away from your 10,000 failures and look to the head of your high priest. He is absolute perfection. And he has imputed you with his righteousness. So that as the Holy Spirit is working you through sanctification, you don't have to get discouraged. You don't have to cast away your confidence. You can hold fast to your profession of faith. I know I'm a failure. Praise God, when he saved me, I was a failure. Here's what you have to understand. God did not save you so that he could turn around and send you to hell. If he was going to send you to hell, he could have left you out there. The fact that he saved you lets you know that he wants you for himself. Here's what Jesus said. It's so good. He said, you did not choose me. See, sometimes we think, well, I made a decision for the Lord. Oh, whoa, slow down. Slow down. It may seem like you made a decision. But Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you. That means God looked over the multiplied billions of people on the planet and says, that one right there, I want them. Holy Spirit, move upon them so that they could make a decision to accept Christ. And that's it. And I want that one right there. Holy Spirit, move upon that one so they can make a decision. Listen, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit moving upon us, we would have gladly went to hell cursing God every step of the way. But God, in his great mercy, in his great love wherewith he does love us, hallelujah, he sent Christ to the cross and then the Holy Spirit into our lives to bring us to himself. God is far more invested in your salvation than you are. See, it costs you nothing. It costs him everything. He planned your salvation before the foundation of the world. He knew that in X number of generations here, you would come and you would be a big old mess. And before he ever laid the foundation of the earth, he had a plan that the Lamb would come and supply the blood so that you, the mess that you are, the mess that I am, that we could receive Christ, that we could give our hearts and lives to him and let him do in us what we want. Listen, salvation is not just a one time I got saved. Salvation now is sanctification every single day. He's changing you and he's moving upon you and he's convicting you. Thank God for sanctification. Come on, that God that I was before I got saved, I hate that guy. I don't like him at all. And every time I see a tendency of that old guy, it's repulsive to me. Kill him. Kill him. Don't suppress him. Don't retrain him. Don't make him better. Crucify him altogether. Get rid of him. He's repugnant to me. But then every once in a while, I can see something happen in my life and I know that wasn't me, but that was Christ in me. I can get the sweet savor of his aroma coming out of me from time to time. I wish it was constantly and always. It's not. But when I see it, it gives me motivation. I can go on. I can go on. Yes, there's going to be failures. There's going to be missteps. Sanctification is the process of trial and error. Don't focus on your trials. Don't focus on your failures. If you make a failure, just admit, God, that wasn't right. I'm wrong and you're right, God. And I don't ever want to do that again. My heart agrees with you that I'm wrong. Let me say it again. You have to agree with God. God, I agree with you that I'm wrong and you're right. And I ask for your help that I never be wrong in this area again. And little by little, the Holy Spirit brings you out. He brings you out like he brought the Hebrews out of Egyptian bondage. He brings you out with a mighty hand to never go back again. Don't get discouraged. He didn't save you and bring you this many years to drop you off here. I know it's discouraging, especially when you fall short and, oh, now the Holy Spirit's convicting you. Isn't that, man, that's horrible. I hate that feeling. You know, you fall short in the area. You either do or didn't do something that you know you should have or should not have done. And now you got to face the Holy Spirit. It's like, Lord, I've been here 10,000 times. But Lord, I'm here again. And I'm sorry. I learned to stop being sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for what I am. Lord, I'm a failure. And unless you help me, God, I can't make it. And God, in his great mercy, he said, I will never leave you. I don't care what you did. He said, I will never forsake you. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. I'll never let you go. He said, no man can pluck you out of my hand, and my Father's greater than I am, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. I got you. You know, when young people now, when they find somebody they think they love, they go get a tattoo of their face on the shoulder. Get a tattoo of them on there. But Jesus said, I've graven you in the palms of my hand. He said, I've got nail scars right here. I love you. He said, with an everlasting love have I loved you. Everlasting means from before the foundation of the earth. With an everlasting love have I loved you, and with loving kindness, I'm drawing you to myself. That's what sanctification is. You see, you can't, in your fallen state, with all of the weirdness we have internally, we can't just walk in God's presence. Because sin, he can't even be in the presence of sin. No, let me say it differently. A sinner can't be in the presence of his holiness. And so little by little, he's making us Christ-like. He's drawing us to himself with loving kindness. Saints, don't get discouraged because you fumble. Don't get discouraged because you make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But every time you make a mistake, ask God, Lord, I'm tired of this mistake. Take me up a little bit higher. Hold my trembling hand and help me to walk through this thing. See, he will never leave you. The only danger is you leaving him by just giving up. Just throwing up your hands and saying, well, it's just too much. I just can't live it. If you think it's too much, it's because you don't understand the gospel. Look at David. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He served God since he was a little boy. From the time that David started walking with the knowledge of God until the time of Bathsheba, who he committed adultery with, 45 years. Get that now. He walked in fellowship with God. No, 35 years. He walked in fellowship with God for 35 years, then committed adultery, then committed murder, and then tried to hide it from God. Most of us hadn't even been saved 35 years. A few have. So my point is that if God brought David in, if God brought Moses in, yes, you will be chastised for your sin. You will. And sometimes if you're stubborn in coming out of that sin, God's hand will be heavy upon you. Amen. It was heavy upon me. But this morning I'm out of sin. Amen. He brought me out. Hallelujah. And I'm like this, whatever that it takes, Lord, that I can be eternally in your presence, let that happen. As unpleasant as it may be, And so when you're going through this process and you see the multitude of failures that you may experience, don't give up. Don't give in. Set your face as a flint and say, I'm going on with God. Here's what Paul said in the Philippians church. Philippians, let's just go to that. Chapter 1. Beginning with verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident. That's what all of us need to walk in, is confidence, not just in the fact that you're saved, not just confidence in the fact that God is God, but confident in the infinite perfections of his character. He's not like man that he loves you and as soon as you mess up, he don't love you no more. That's not how, God's not like that. To be confident in his personality and his character, and to also be confident in his redemption plan and in his sanctification. Be confident. It will work. You may get off to a slow start, but that means later on you're going to be running strong. I got off to a way slow start. Way slow. It's like I was moonwalking. It seemed like I was going backwards. But amen, but God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. And so sanctification will work in your life. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he, speaking of God, which hath begun a good work, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So now he's saying two things here. Number one, he's saying he that has begun a good work, the day you got saved, the day you got serious and gave your life, that was the beginning of a good work. He's not going to stop that work until the rapture of the church, when your personality, your person is raised to absolute perfection. He's not going to stop that work. So we have to make sure that we're not dragging our feet. I feel like I've got everyone's attention. Have you ever just got tired of this walk? You mess up so much. And you just think, you know what? I'm just going to coast here for a while. I'm just going to coast. Yeah, I know I got some sin back here. And I know I got some sin over here. And I know I got some sin right in here. And I got some in this pocket. I'm just going to coast. Don't do that. You're hurting yourself. Because every sin, even though God don't send you straight to hell, it extracts a penalty from you. There are people right now looking for a spouse. And God said it's not good for man to be alone. He wants you to have a spouse. But he first got to get the sin out of your life. Because the very thing that you're doing 5 years from now, 3 years from now, it would destroy your marriage if you didn't get that thing out of you. Do I need to be more plain than that? I can be more plain. You know, I just like sleeping around. I ain't hurting nobody. Nobody. Everybody enjoyed themselves. Nobody got hurt. I just like doing it. Well, you can never have a spouse like that. Because when they catch you sleeping around, they're liable to shoot you. This is a different world we in. Amen. Throw a pan of hot water on you, some grease, some grits. And you thought that it wouldn't hurt nobody, but I'm telling you, be sure. Be sure. Your sin will find you out. Yeah, it'll find you out and it will extract a penalty. The wages of all sin is death. So God has not given anyone here permission to sin, but what he's saying is press forth in sanctification. I had a problem when I first got saved. I like drugs. I've always did drugs since I was 12, and they was cool with me, and I was cool with them. But then when I got saved, it wasn't cool with God. How many's ever just kind of slipped and dipped? You know, nobody's looking. I'm just go ahead and do this. I'm telling you, it will extract a penalty. And the price it extracts is more than you intended to pay. And so God has given us this wonderful process of sanctification. Lean into it. Lean into it. And here's the attitude. Here's the heart. God, I am wrong, and you're right. I'm not only sorry for what I did. I'm sorry, God, for what I am. But I can't change myself. The leper can't change his stripes. The Ethiopian can't change his skin tone. It's beyond my ability to change myself. I need you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to change me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads all over the room this morning? Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you, Lord, that you're not angry with us, that you're not looking for a reason to exclude us, but that everything you've done it to include us, to bring us into your grace, to draw us into yourself, as you said in your word, with loving kindness. Lord, we love you today and we thank you and we ask you that you would forgive all of our sin, that you would wash us from all of our iniquity, that you would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us. Oh God, let the words of our mouths, let the intent of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet? And why don't today, whatever that thing might be in your life, you don't have to tell anybody but God. Lord, I need strength in this area. I'm weak. I'm undone. I need your help. It may be an outward sin. It may be an internal sin. It may be a personality trait. Doesn't matter. Give that thing to God right now. Lord, I need your help. I'm unable to overcome this thing in myself. And so I cry out to you, Father, that you would help me in this situation. Purge me. Wash me in hyssop. Cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb. Oh God, I plead to you this morning that you would help me. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. Just reach out.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you because we can be confident in you, Father. We thank you for your perfect love. We thank you. We thank you because while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of the cross, you died for us. So, Father, we just say thank you, Lord. Help us to be bold in this love that you have for us, Lord Jesus. Help us to know that nothing can separate us from this love unless we choose to walk away. Father, we love you and we thank you for this message. We thank you for the truth, Lord Jesus, because it sets us free. It lets us run freely. It lets us run as you have called us to run. It lets us speak and be bold. Father, once again, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for this encouragement. And we thank you for the truth that has gone forth. Amen. 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 That was a very, very timely and good message. So I hope you're blessed. Yes, please. Amen, amen. So real quick, if you haven't given, now is the time to do so. We're going to worship in giving. As you guys know, there are several ways to give. And it's interesting, while Pastor was preaching, this thought came to mind. As you sat here, none of us thought, where is my next breath going to come from? You were simply just confident that you were going to have breath, right? So that same God who spoke and put breath in your lungs is the same God that has your salvation in his hands. So be confident. Amen. And as Pastor said, we do have the John commentary for sale. So we kind of sold a lot during the first service. So I think we have about six left. So first come, first serve. But you can order it online at the store. So please do so as well. And this Wednesday, we're going to start our new Bible study on 1st and 2nd Timothy. So that starts this Wednesday at 7. Amen. Well, please bow. Let me just close us up with a word of prayer and you will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your love. We thank you because you have a plan for us, Lord Jesus. Even while we were yet sinners, you have loved us and you have called us yours. So, Father, help us to be sure of this love. Help us not to look at self, but help us to look at you, Lord, knowing that as we see you, Father, we see who we are. Father, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the mighty, precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. See you guys on Wednesday.